Question for you.
Is it going to be less than an hour this week?
No, we're almost done.
Well, I was just forecasting your question.
When you go to like the gym or whatnot.
Oh, it's a different question.
How long do you spend in the change room?
Less than an hour.
Well, yeah, the over-under isn't an hour. That'd be a horrible bet. That's a serious question. I have a serious question for you. Like I know you can't give me a finite answer.
Right.
My answer is the least time possible.
Okay.
I just don't understand why the guys at the pool here are just hanging, lounging about in the locker room.
Maybe they don't have anywhere better to go.
I feel like we're going nowhere with this conversation.
At this rate, it could take...
Like, I'm not going to get an answer, and at the end is going to be no big laugh.
And then maybe...
Ha, ha, ha. He did it. He got the laugh from the locker room. Banter.
61 minutes.
Last thing, and I don't imagine anybody from the locker room is going to listen to this and give their head a shake and say, you know what? Alan's right. I spend far too much time lounging in here.
Okay.
So this was a giant waste of my time and yours.
Right.
Thanks a lot, Adam. Hello and welcome to episode 396 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is...
Adam in Vancouver.
What are you clicking on? Captain Click. I hear you clicking back there.
I'm clicking on Two Hosers.
Are you buying stuff on eBay?
No, I'm buying stuff on Two Hosers.
Okay. Can you save your clicks for your own time.
Can you do that? Can you buy stuff on Two Hosers?
You can buy t-shirts. People actually have. Recently, we a couple of people bought some t-shirts recently.
Wow.
Yeah. And by recently, I mean 2011. Well, the 2000s, nonetheless, it was 2000s.
Right. It's in this decade.
No, it was actually like a month ago or something.
Awesome.
All right. What's going on in Vancouver, Adam? Is it a heat wave?
It's over. Heat wave's over.
You had a heat wave though, right?
Yeah. It was smoking hot.
I heard everybody was freaking out about how hot it was.
And now it's back to 22 degrees.
22?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
From like 32.
Yeah, you stick with the 32. That's your heat wave was 32?
Well, 32 in Vancouver near the water, but it was there was humidity too. So you know how they do the humidity math.
And the wind chill in the winter, because you have to grab the headlines, man.
Yeah, sure. 32 feels like 180.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, well, so we're enjoying it. I don't know. I've heard it's called a heat wave here. There's people and people are dying. I think people die every day anyway, honestly. So we're around 34 or 35 today. We're loving it.
Okay.
Maybe that's why guys are hanging in the locker room. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Is there air conditioning? No. Just shade.
And my sneakers are in there, and they do not smell good.
Right.
So I don't understand. All right. And that's enough of that. We'll pick it up later in the episode.
Okay.
Yeah. So Amazon. Buy stuff at Amazon. Click through our site. Help us out.
Right.
I haven't done any Amazoning lately.
No, me either.
Yeah. It's not a requirement. You don't have to.
Right.
So.
I like to look. I like to look on Amazon.
Do you? Just check prices?
Yeah, just see what's out there. See what's the deal of the day.
What was the deal of the day today?
I don't know. It was some weird Bluetooth-y speaker thing, I think.
Those are really, really picking up, eh? Everyone has, like, my Bluetooth speaker has its own Bluetooth speaker now.
Yeah, it's got a whole family.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine going to the, like, the 17-year-old you. In way back in 1993, I guess that would be. It's my guess.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
And just say, all right, man, like just show that guy an iPod It's like an iPod Touch with a Bluetooth speaker.
Right.
What would happen to that kid?
Mind blown.
Absolutely mind blowing. Which I think we've discussed this before, like having, yeah, my, you know, I didn't have it, but my friend's Sony Walkman had auto reverse. That was mind blowing.
Right.
It could play the tape backwards. How did it know? And now you just take this little.
There's alarms going off in my neighborhood, like left, right, yeah. And center. Yeah, like the second car alarm. So just enjoy that.
I was wondering what's happening. Where do you live?
Yeah.
So anyways, lots of pool day. My point with the heat is, wow, are we in the pool a lot? Every day's a pool day here, man.
Cool.
So I've been taking the faux pro, the fake GoPro I have.
Mm-hmm.
Taking that at the pool a couple times because my son is really, really into the swimming now. Like into the diving to the bottom of the pool. Not super deep. Like, you know, he can touch. It's where he can touch, but he loves to dive in and just swim right along the bottom of the pool. And so hence I bring the faux pro, and it's awesome. What a great $42 purchase that was.
Cool.
Can't say enough about that. If you're thinking about getting one, the MG Cool, I think is my brand that I have, pick it up. It'll pay for itself the first use, in my opinion. All right.
What are you
grabbing that baton and running with it?
I was just going to say, what are you going to do with that video footage?
I sell it on Amazon.
Okay.
No, I cut it down. I actually cut it down. And a lot of it, to be fair, it's actually, you know, it's for the grandparents back home that aren't here to see them. And so I usually, I won't overshoot because eventually you can only have so many clips going down the slide and then diving to the bottom of the pool and waving at the camera. So I'll shoot about 6-8 minutes of footage that from a whole day at the pool and then cut it down to between 2 and 4 minutes and just, right. Just to kind of show grandma and grandpa, and I throw some music in behind it.
But are you going to do that each time you go to the pool?
No, I'll do it 4 times a year.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. No, come on. It's a lot of the same stuff,
right,
over and over again. But you know, he only learned to sort of do the swimming on the bottom of the pool in the last week. So whatever video I shot in May does not apply now. He's progressed.
Gotcha.
So I save it for those moments. Otherwise, no. That's why 42 euros was a good purchase. It was 300 euros. My ROI would be.
Right.
That's a technical term.
Right.
I don't expect you to understand the macroeconomics of that.
Okay. I got you. Yeah.
So, it's part of the Laffer curve.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Just never mind. Again, more shop talk.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Oh, I got a picture for you. I'm not sure if I should post this or not. You tell me. The one called Flash from this week.
Flash. All right, I'm looking at it, and
what do you see? What's going on here? First of all, I'll tell you, this is at my son's kindergarten, the last day of kindergarten, and they have a little presentation that, quite honestly, I could have skipped. But
I see that it's very bright outside, and you have a fellow with his digital SLR, long lens, so clearly he's shooting something that's, you know, not directly right in front of him, and looks like his camera's in auto mode, and so it's decided to use the pop-up flash, which, considering how bright it is outside, is going to do nothing.
No. That was what I wanted to tap him on the shoulder and just say, what you doing?
Yeah.
At least I'll give him this. Uncharacteristically, he has the lens cap, the lens hood on the proper way.
Yeah, there you go.
Which actually, all that will do is cast a giant shadow from the flash. If you were to use the flash properly, which he's not, it would cast a massive shadow. So, in that respect, flip it around. No, it's so I just looked at this and thought, wow, this is up there with. Although he's not a professional, so it's all right. But I wanted to have a little talk with him and say, look, we got 396 episodes here. We'll help you out here.
Right. Yeah.
Not as egregious as I thought. I thought you'd be a little more incensed.
No, I see this sort of nonsense all the time, so I guess I'm just more or less immune to it. It is egregious, 100%, mm-hmm. but clearly it's just somebody who uses their camera in auto mode. No one selectively decides, you know what I really need here is a tiny bit of flash that's never going to make it to my subject. So I think it's just, hey, auto mode, what are you doing?
Yeah, I guess. That is my guess as well. But the other rub with this is I forget what kind of camera it is. It's your regular, you know, entry-level DSLR. And he's left the setting on the beep to focus move.
Right, that's awesome too.
Can't stand it.
Yeah. I haven't heard that in a while, actually, the focusing beeping mm-hmm. from strangers. But you're right, that's super annoying.
Mm-hmm. Just the other day I heard it. Yeah, there you go. all right. Something else going on. This isn't as groundbreaking as the buying the Mark III was, or you know, choosing between the Mark III and the Sony A7 III and all that. But I find myself in the market for a 24-105 F4L.
Okay.
I've not been a zoom guy. I'm clearly on the no zoom camp.
Mm-hmm.
However, I just more and more am thinking I could really use this strictly for video. It's got the IS built into it, which is a little bit of a help for video.
Right.
And just, you know, some of my projects, I find myself more and more just having to do the run and gun. And I love shooting with primes, but I don't like having to, you know, keep one in my backpack and then switch it out really quick. So for some of these jobs, I might need a 24-105.
And how much are they going for in your neck of the woods?
Well, that's the thing, is they're hard to find here. And so there's one I found, but it was like 100 kilometers away.
Ooh, and that's a bit of a trek.
Yeah, because I'd have to come back. I couldn't just live there.
Right, right.
You know, and so I think the guy wanted around, I think he was asking like 400 euros.
Right.
Which is cheap, because I mean I think they're still going for around six plus, like high sixes in Vancouver. And that's the original one, because there's a version 2 has been released.
Right.
And that one I think is around 1,000 euros. So I'm not sure what those retail for in Canada.
Oh, I don't know. Not on my radar.
No, I'm not gonna buy that one. I'm gonna go for the original and just get it used. I mean, for a while it was the kit lens for the 5D Classic and Mark II, and so there are a decent number of them out there. And so the issue being, I kind of need it when I'm in Vancouver in a month or so, a couple months, whenever I'm there. So I'd like to buy it when I'm in Vancouver, but I'll need it like that day, the next day. And so I don't want to travel with all my backup stuff just in case, and if I don't buy it. You see what I'm getting at here?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like I'm just trying to travel as light as possible.
And why wouldn't you just buy it online new? You don't want to buy it new?
No, because the new one is version 2, and it's like 1,000 euros.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So I don't want to go. I don't see any reason to get the newest one.
Gotcha.
So I think I'll just stick with the old one, and it does everything I want it to do. I talked to Mr. Marquardt, who does have one. He loves his, and he said, "Yeah, he doesn't understand. He doesn't see why he wouldn't pay for the upgrade."
Gotcha.
So there's that. So anyway, so I'll figure that out. Try and lock somebody down. Here's my move. Here's what I'll do: is I'll talk to some guy on Craigslist who lives out in Richmond, who's advertising one of them.
Sure.
And just say, all right, here's the deal, man. You want to meet somewhere? And he'll say, how about the Tim Hortons on Alderbridge?
Yeah.
And I'll say, how about the International Arrivals Terminal at YVR?
Yeah.
And then you just drop me off. So I'll get a lens and a ride home, 2 for 1.
Perfect.
It's like my own personal lens Uber.
That's super smart, and I'm sure it'll work out.
It can't go wrong. So Anyways, I'm pretty, if I can pull the, if I can make it happen, I'm going to pull the trigger on this one. I'm dead set on getting one. So very, very exciting. But that will mean like for a video job that I'm going to do, like a certain video job, I'll take two cameras. I'll take that camera with the 24-105 and I will shoot the backup camera will be the Fuji X100F, which great. Those will work just fine together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very, very compact, not having to bring all the different lenses with me.
Cool.
Very exciting. Yeah.
Very exciting, yeah.
All right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did, but I'll save it.
You're going to save it?
Yeah, I'm going to save it.
For a future episode?
Sure. You never know. When we really, you know, when we're really dying for some fantastic content, I'll just pull it out of the...
Sure.
Pull it out of the ringer.
Yeah, you don't want to interrupt this A-plus that we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't want to waste it. You know this one's never going to air, so it's like, why waste my time?
Yeah, no, seriously, I'm saving the good material for a better episode.
All right, I'll waste everybody's time with this then. Okay. I was in town the other day. I had to shoot some, doesn't matter what I was shooting, but that wasn't the interesting part. But I was shooting a couple photos in town. One of them actually being my stranger portrait, which we'll talk about later. But I had a bunch of other things I had to shoot. And then we went into a place called the Neckar Mühler for the beer garden, best beer garden in town. Really cool beer garden right on the river.
Mm-hmm.
And so I met some friends from baseball and whatnot, and went and hung around there. And since I had the Mark III with me, decided to basically shoot some pictures in the almost pitch black. Not okay. Quite pitch black. There was still a little bit of blue in the sky, like a type of blue hour had come and gone. And so I said, you know, let's see how this goes. And so I snapped just a few photos at ISO 3200, 50 mil lens at F1.4. And so I just chose one, posted it there of the smiling folks.
Yeah, it looks good.
I'm pretty jazzed with the low light performance of this, and it was also because right then the guy at the back there, Mr. Smiles, he'd asked me. He's our game two pitcher, and he's just for reference. Nothing to do with this story, actually.
Okay.
But he'd asked me. He said he kind of pointed at the sky. He said, "Oh, hey, is this blue hour?" Because he kind of listens along when I shoot my mouth off. And I said, no, we actually just missed it. But I said, right now is actually one of my favorite times because the lights that are hanging in the beer garden are very, very yellow. And with the super blue sky, we kind of get that blue and orange effect that we always talk about. And so it's kind of a good time to be shooting photos. I'm waiting to hear what's going on in the background there.
I don't know, somebody outside. Yes, you're correct, and it does, like the tones on the skin definitely show up orange, and then you get the super blue background, and yeah, it looks good.
And then the team photo for our softball team, the girls women's softball team, and so they got their new uniforms, so now like they have the same uniforms as us. That was, so it was a big, they got on the day before, so I said a great team photo and rolled down before their game and just quickly set this up. The reason I wanted to post this one, this was shot with the X100.
Mm-hmm.
Easily the go-to tool for shooting team photos like this.
Okay.
The lens, the focal length is perfect. 35 mils for a shot like this is exactly what you want. I can't imagine you going any wider, but 35 mils, you just get in nice and close. It's great. The depth of field's fantastic. But shooting with the X100 and the leaf shutter, all of a sudden you're shooting with off-camera flash at 1/1000th of a second. And that means you're able to kill an awful lot of ambient light while keeping, I think this was an F4, which means there's still enough front to back depth of field, but an awful lot of flash light can get through,
mm-hmm.
which I did. So on either side of the camera is a strobe fired into an umbrella. And the umbrella is the key here, because normally when it's super sunny and you're trying to shoot and kill all the ambient light and light up their faces, you end up having to, you know, shoot at F-16 so you can sync the flash, which means there's no way you're using an umbrella. It just right. eats way too much. And so now there was a little bit of overcast here. I think I kind of made it a little more dramatic in the sky than it really was. It was a little bit lighter. So it wasn't a super, super hard shadows as it was, but just the ability to go right down to 1/1000th and still sync your off-camera flashes through umbrellas is just, I can't say enough about this camera.
Looks good. Yeah, the photo looks good.
Love it. All right. And then lastly, it was game day covers. Game day covers this week was, we shot two of them.
I have one quick question with the photo. Did you have to Photoshop any reflections out of the girl with glasses? Because you got two umbrellas here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Almost seems unlikely that you wouldn't get a reflection in her glasses.
I did not Photoshop a thing.
Wow, so none of that light caught her glasses at a funny angle?
Nope.
There you go.
They're both essentially straight on. I don't know that I even angled them very much, because it's basically just a fill. You're not doing any dramatic lighting. You're just making sure everyone's face is lit. But the key is, like, no one has their, you know, no one has shadows thrown on, like, in the girls in the back row don't have shadows thrown on them, which is kind of nice. And again, if I had shot this with the Mark III, for example, I probably wouldn't, you know, I'd have to shoot it at 1/200th of a second. And so all of a sudden I got to stop down to an F11. And umbrellas are gone, and now I'm shooting hard flash, and we're getting shadows.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. All right, and so lastly, the other one was we'd game day cover for last game of the year. So I shot, that translates to baseball is in their blood. Baseball in blut means, like, you got baseball in the blood. That's me and my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then the alternate cover, which we'll print both of them, is... our catcher, who's about a year younger than me, and the other old guy on the team, and that's his son. And so we did kind of a father-son, although my daughter was in there as well, because and all the kids play t-ball together.
Nice.
So, yeah, so we tried to go for the heartstrings on this one.
There you go. No, it looks good, too.
I like his better. I'm going to be honest with you.
I agree. His
looks... I mean, obviously, I'm far more handsome, but...
His is better just because it's a better composition with two for this kind of magazine cover. Three is a bit cramped.
It is it is. And so like below, right below, I'm cropped it right at the spot where, like, I have to stop on the bottom, because my kids are both standing on a bench in order to have sort of the same face height, relatively the same face height. And so I can't go any lower, and because you don't want to see the bench.
Right.
And so, and I kind of would like, you know, our heads to be at the top. Like, I like it when my head covers the Spieltag, like they do in every single magazine ever now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but with three people, you just have to go too wide. You can't get down there. And I thought, what do I do? Do I add a blue bar at the bottom? And it just didn't work out. So I don't hate mine, but I definitely like the shot of two better.
Agreed.
My daughter would have been heartbroken, though. So
just boot her from the photo.
Yeah, sorry, you're out, sweetie. All right, so that's all the stuff. Photo challenge this week is our topic, and that is Portrait of a Stranger.
I hear a party going on in your house.
Oh yeah, no, that's just kids. I think they're arguing over which episode of Paw Patrol is the best.
The best ever or the best this season?
The best that's on right now.
Oh, okay.
Because they'll probably have it on one screen, and then it'll be on the iPad, and it's crazy. So that's a joke. I don't let my kids watch TV on the iPad.
This should be a short episode, as I see not a huge amount of listener submissions.
Six of them, and I think one of them might be an accident.
And three of them are by the same person.
No. No, there was a multiple posting, but I did not. Wait, it's not the same? No. Is it?
I don't know.
No,
I haven't looked at them yet.
No, Stephen Flo did submit two, but I chose one of them.
Okay.
The better of them. So we'll start with him. His is the first one that comes up. Okay. So here we go. The owner of the Double J.
Saloon.
Yeah. Well, we all knew the saloon part.
Okay.
Have you not been to the Double J?
I have not.
Uh-huh.
I like this. The good-looking photo.
What is it? What is it you like about it?
I like the lighting. The lighting looks great. Like it, very similar to the photo you took in the bar. You've got sort of a high contrast between sort of the light that's on the subject. In this case, you know, there's kind of a reddish kind of lighting effect going on, and then very kind of greeny backlight on the bar. And so you get context here. I mean, clearly you look at this and you know this is a bar. This isn't a flat picture, so you get some depth with the angle that the photo shot at, and again, it's a nice looking photo.
Yes, I agree with all of that, and just to further add to it, I like the placement of the owner. I guess his name Jeff Johnson, I'm assuming. Double J.
Sure.
The placement of his head sort of on the whatever that shape is that's being lit up.
Yeah,
that makes it really pop, and the inclusion of the Double J in the background, so we know the name of the place. It's perfectly placed. It's out of focus enough that it gives separation from the subject, but it's in focus enough that we can clearly read it, and then we can clearly see all the bottles down below, and so we know exactly what we're looking at. And so, all in all, great shot. Love this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up. We have Frank Pang, your buddy. Did you bump into him?
No, I didn't. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure this one qualifies.
Yeah, it seems like it's probably someone he doesn't know, but it's a side profile, kind of like he didn't really ask this guy's permission, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was part of it, is to introduce yourself to a stranger and then kind of go outside of your comfort zone, I think, for most people, right? Like, this isn't going up and asking a stranger to take their photo is a little bit of an uncomfortable situation. So
it is wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah. So,
however,
this is a sneaky shot.
Is a sneaky shot. Although it kind of looks like it was shot on film to me.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we appreciate the participation here. And not a terrible shot by any means, but don't know if it's in the spirit of what, and maybe we should have been clearer.
Mm-hmm.
By we, I mean me.
Right.
So as I said, the not very many submissions this week. We got six. Now I understand that because, as you just said, this is a wildly difficult thing to do. To walk up to strangers and just say, "Hey, can I take your picture?" Why? What for? Where's it going to be? Who are you going to sell it to? What's going on? Like that happens,
right?
And so you want to avoid that. However, as challenging as it is wildly rewarding. Like, you'll be shocked at the number of people who do agree to it, and then you start talking to them, and right. Oh yeah. So hey, I know a guy from Vancouver, you know, like, so they'll ask where I'm from, and I'll basically say Vancouver, because that's where I'm from.
Yeah,
it's reasonable. Yeah. But and so they're like, "Oh, I know a guy from Vancouver," and you know, but, "Oh yeah, I probably don't know him," but we get to talking, and hey, what are you doing in Tubingen? You know, next thing you know, you're sharing a pizza. That's how it goes,
right?
Or just the general people that you end up talking to, and it really is an amazing thing, and it's kind of it's actually my main hatred for the selfie stick is because of that. Because you're preventing yourself from meeting absolute strangers that you'll probably have a decent interaction with.
Okay.
So there you go. All right, let's go have a look at the next one. Once again, this is Gustav. We've argued about this before. Gustav Siren.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so here's an unknown conductor right before the train was about to go. In Sweden, I'm guessing.
Okay.
No, I forget. We've talked about this. Yeah, it is Sweden. Okay, it's Sweden. The trains there are nice, actually, but you have to put them together yourself.
Right. I gotcha.
Let me back that up and not say that joke.
I think this photo is okay.
Okay.
I it's something about the lines that just are off enough to be off-putting, like just the verticality of the image.
I'm assuming that's a reflection in a window.
Yeah, the dark blue on his right shoulder, camera left, just those lines, there's something there that just doesn't work for me. I think maybe just, you know, the angle could be slightly maybe rotated to fix it. It's fine. It's fine. It's just this is nothing mind blown here.
I don't mind the angle at all. It never even occurred to me. I never even noticed it. What I like is that I am assuming that is a reflection in a window.
Okay.
Which is kind of what allows, I'm assuming is what allows it to sort of compress the tonal range here and the dynamic range in order to see as much as we can. It seems very bright, and they shot the conductor in the shade, it looks like, a nice even light, but to be able to get, and so I'm guessing his camera, were he to put this on auto, his camera would not have shot this.
Right.
The face would be much brighter, and the back would be blown out, and it wouldn't be good at all. And so, so in that respect, I kind of like the color tones. To me, it doesn't look as warm, looks a little bit shadowy, but then a little bit warm tones on the upper part of his face, and then combined with the bright in the back. I like it more than you did.
Okay.
So, there you go. All right, next up, we got B.S. Vaughn finally asked a stranger if I can take his... See, I know that feeling where you go and you're walking around and it could be a while before you actually approach somebody. Or maybe it's months that you never did it.
Right.
So, I guess what I'm saying is if you didn't participate this week, that's fine. Do yourself a favor and do this challenge on your own, just for yourself.
Okay. No, I think it's worthwhile.
Yeah. Okay. So, here we go. He starts telling me how I should set up the photo and what to look for. Turns out he's a photographer with national ad campaigns under his belt.
Ooh, that's a little intimidating.
I don't think he's even wearing a belt. His shirt's not tucked in. So, you know.
Yeah.
No, but there you go. Like, there's somebody that you can, that now he's, now this guy is obviously listening to our show. So, hey, David Koechner. Good to see you.
Looks a little bit like him, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. It just occurred to me, and as I was saying it, I was wondering, will Adam know who David Koechner is?
Absolutely.
I know you'll know who he is, but do you know his name?
Yep. And okay. He dropped about 50 pounds for this photo.
Could be.
Yeah.
Brick Tamlin. No. What's his name in?
Brick something. I don't know. I don't know.
Is he Brick? No, he's Champ.
No, Brick is the 40-year-old virgin guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's Champ Kind. That's his name. All right. Oh, no, we talk about the picture. I like this picture. Shooting a guy with a guitar is actually very hard to do. Compositionally wise, it's not easy to do.
Okay, so what's your feeling on this photo?
I like the light. I like the way the light's kind of dappling through. We got a little inclusion of the leaves on the one side, the old bench. This guy's clearly getting his clothes dirty, though. I'm just noticing that now.
I feel like this is a better photo in black and white.
Yeah, it probably is.
Just because it looks like, you know, with the bench, there's some texture there with the guitar and the light that's falling on him, and just kind of the dark background that in black and white with a little bit of tweaking as far as, you know, the contrast and the clarity. I think that this is a good photo. I just don't love the colors here.
And agreed. I agree, black and white. That never occurred to me.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Next up is Roger Dahlman out for a visit in the Virginia countryside. They were strangers until we met for a quick conversation.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't know if this classifies as a portrait. It's very nice. Kind of similar to my photo last week of my kids running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like he was inspired.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't think he probably shot it before that, but
yeah.
Someone said, nice photo. It looks like a Monet painting. It actually kind of does.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Yeah, Stan Monet, my neighbor. Yeah, there's a lot of finger painting.
Yeah.
He was hit in the head a while back.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm just saying he wears a life helmet and Velcro shoes, but it looks just like some of the stuff he paints.
Okay.
None of that's true. That does look like a Claude. We're talking about Claude Monet, I'm guessing.
I agree with you in that I'm not sure this is a portrait. I do like the photo, however. Yeah, if it was a little closer up or if they were actually engaging with the photographer in some way, I think I'd like it more.
I think you're right. And I think we're both right in agreeing with each other there. But
all nice colors, yeah.
Nice colors, nice little moment. I like what's going on. Definitely good photo. All right, and our last one up is Galway Viewfinder, the Honda 50 run today. Fundraising for Hand in Hand. Great idea, great people, great bikes. And so I'm assuming he just approached these folks and asked to snap their photo.
I agree. I think that's what happened.
Okay. So I appreciate the fact that he did approach strangers. We did say portrait of a stranger, and this is definitely two people, so technically we can't accept it. That's plural. No.
Yeah.
What do you think? What's going on here?
I'm going to say father-daughter combo here.
No, but photo-wise.
It's fine. Again, I feel like this is a snapshot off of a phone. That's how I feel about this.
It is. I mean, we have people in the background that are sort of, you know, clogging up the shot. So this is I would not classify this as a portrait. I would say it is a snapshot, very good one, because you can see the excitement. This is just sheer joy. I'm always a sucker for a smile.
Agreed.
So I like what's going on. All right. Let's have a look at ours now. I rarely go first anymore, I've noticed. So I'm going to go first on this one.
Okay.
All right. So here's Joey Accordion. I think he told me his name was Joe. It's not Joe. There's no way his name is Joe. He did not speak a word of English or German. He's from Hungary.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we'll start with the photo part first. You tell me what's going on.
He's got an accordion.
Right. No, I say what you see.
I'm gonna say maybe he was like he was performing. Like, is he a busker?
He was about to. No, they were playing in a bar somewhere.
Okay, all right.
So I went and got set up. I got set up in the Old Town. Obviously, I knew, you know, I wanted to shoot in the Old Town. That's where people are, you know, on a summer's evening. So it's pretty easy to, you know, get people coming, passing by. So I went and set up down there. I was hoping for some really cool slashes of light that we get in the Old Town tubing in at this hour, but it was kind of overcast. And so that wasn't going to happen. So I knew I needed to make my own light, which I did. I brought two lights. This is lit by two. And basically just found a nice spot where I had the pole with the plants hanging down. And I wanted to have some depth. I wanted to have some of the Old Town in the background, but I wanted it to be deep. I didn't want to just go shoot up against a door. I don't know why. I think that would have looked good. That would have looked just fine. But that's what I wanted to do, and kind of include some people in the background to show that this definitely was out on the street, but have them out of focus enough to not be part of the image.
Gotcha.
So with that, I had one flash camera left in an umbrella. Was that no gel? Nope. Had a half CTO on it. Full CTO. On it. And then camera right, just down at his feet, just out of frame and down at his feet, another flash in an umbrella with a half CTB on it at much less power. So just acting as a fill to kind of come in on that side of his face, but to add a little blue to it, like shadows are. Shadows tend to be a little bit more blue. And so that's why I went the CTB, and that's how he balanced it out. And the headlight, the little rim light, is actually the cloudy sun coming down.
Okay.
And I'm standing about way, way, way back on the 70 to 200 zoomed all the way in.
Mm-hmm. No, it looks good.
Okay.
You want to talk now, to Joe? No, I just, in terms of, now this is a bigger ask, right? So now you're walking up to a stranger and you're proposing that you set up lights, and I don't know if I would have done this. Like, this is a bridge too far for me. So right. how did you approach this situation that you were going to do this and he was going to agree to this?
I set up the lights first.
Oh, okay. It's already set up.
It's all set up. And so I basically get set up there. I had a couple people with me. So they were able to basically act as human sandbags. So the lights did not blow away. It was a little bit windy that day.
Okay.
And so basically I was ready to go and I just started approaching people. And I actually asked a girl who'd walked by like moments before and she was just could not be less interested. I guess she thought I was working for whoever those guys that Liam Neeson beat up in Taken. I was working for those dudes.
Okay.
Like she just was not getting her, there's no way she was getting her picture taken. I was like, oh, that's fine. And then she got all apologetic and, you know, and the people I was with was actually two women. And so it should have been non-threatening. And they were like, he's a pro. Don't you? You'll get a great photo out of this. So that's my deal. Like I'm telling them, hey, you can have the photo. Right. And so she walked off. And I said, no problem. The people are coming by. And I just kind of want to pick somebody interesting, right? And interesting looking. And so then this guy and his partner, who was definitely an interesting looking guy who had a violin, came by and basically put his head underneath the umbrella of the key light, just stood there. Like, and the my friend who was holding it was just kind of uncomfortable because he was 3 inches from her nose. And he just stood there kind of like awkwardly.
Okay.
And so I said, all right, I guess we're taking your photo. And so I lined him up and his picture was just not interesting at all. And then his friend, I said, well, how about your friend gets in here? But he didn't really speak English, but he didn't care. And he got in and this one was, so the wingman here was much, much, much more of an interesting photo.
Okay.
And so he snapped it. I gave him my card, said, hey, if you email me, which they're never going to do, he's never going to track me down. But he can have this photo if he wants it, and he should want it. So.
Okay.
And there you go. So all in all, I get to meet, you know, some musicians from Hungary who I never would have met before. So I love this exercise.
Yeah.
All right. So let's have a look at yours.
Okay.
All right. So what's going on? This guy looks familiar to me.
Maybe he's your friend.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I took the approach of a beautiful night out. Kids were anxious to go for a bike ride. So I said, okay, well, my wife, my sister-in-law were over, or my sister-in-law was over for dinner. And so we said, oh, after dinner, let's go for a walk. I specifically, you know, had the idea in mind of, okay, kids are going to go for a bike ride. We'll go along the dike. And hopefully, I mean, it's going to be a beautiful night. I'll have a chance to ask somebody on the dike. It's a place where, you know, people walk, people ride their bikes. You usually pass a fair number of people. I thought, oh, perfect. I'll stop someone along the way and ask if they don't mind having their picture taken. So that's what we did. We walked along the dike and I told, you know, my kids that I'm probably going to stop someone and ask for a photo. And so they were kind of scouting along the way and all riding on their bikes and sort of saying, oh, how about him or how about her? And then I saw this fellow walking with two golden retrievers. And that spoke to me in that I grew up, we had golden retrievers, multiple golden retrievers over the course of my my childhood and early adulthood that my parents had growing up with. I love these dogs. And so when I saw this fellow walking two of them, I thought, oh, this is the guy I got to stop. And so as we were walking towards him and he was walking in the other direction, he had headphones on. And so, you know, I was kind of looking at him. He was, you know, looking at me in the camera and whatnot. And so he pulled his earbuds out and said, oh, this is a great time of day, you know, for shooting photos. And I said, how would you like your photo?
So he started it.
Well, he took the earbuds out and then I believe that's what he said. He said, oh, it's a great time of night for taking photos. And so I was going to ask him anyways, but with the earbuds in and him doing his own thing, I wasn't sure whether or not I was going to interrupt. But as he got maybe 10, 15 feet, that's when the earbud came out and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm asking this guy. And again, my son particularly just loves dogs and this kind of dog is his absolute favorite. So I thought, great, you know, I'll ask him to take a photo, you know, kids will get a chance to pet the dogs and everybody wins here. So he was into it. He was like, absolutely. Yeah, let's do this. And so basically this is maybe, I don't know, 5 minutes or less before the sun goes right down. So couldn't be more red and couldn't be lower in the sky. And then, you know, we're on a path. He immediately went into this position. I did not have to pose him or anything. I just kind of got my vantage point, set up the angle that I wanted, and he moved right in with the dogs into what I thought was perfect. Because if he's standing, it's a little different photo. And so this really helped for him to get low and kind of put his arm around the dogs. And then this is the very first photo I snapped. I think I snapped about 10, just not being certain as to what position the dog's faces would be in and what would look good. So he immediately just had a nice smile, settled in comfortably, and just turned out that it was the very first photo I snapped. So I got his email. We chatted for a couple of minutes, and he said that, you know, he's into photography, and I gave him the name of the podcast, and he absolutely said, yep, I'm going to listen. And I think that night or the next morning, whenever I edited the photo and sent it to him, I got a really, really, really nice email back just saying, you know, how grateful he was, and, you know, it was such a nice chance encounter, and that, you know, he's going to post this on all his social media, and on and on. So really, really made, like you were saying, you know, the payoff to doing this, it just felt so good. I got more out of taking this one photo than probably the last 20 paid jobs combined that I've done.
Than all the pictures you ever snapped of your kids.
Oh my God, that by a million. They won't they won't care until they're in their 50s. Anyways, it was truly worthwhile, and I can't say enough to echo the sentiments, you know, that you were saying earlier about why this is worthwhile, because I am not someone who likes to do this. I do this almost never. And I always, when I have done it in the past, I always feel good about doing it, but this was by far the best experience. Only asked this one guy. And then I thought to myself, I really should do this more often, but I can't say that you're going to get this good of a reaction. This was like the absolute best reaction that I could have imagined getting from a stranger for one photo like this. And it felt like I did him a favor. Like that was the part that sort of got me, is that I asked him to do something that I told him, you know, I was going to use it for the podcast and blah, blah, blah. And still the email that came back was like, this was the nicest thing in a while. Like, doesn't know how, you know, just to realize how much this meant to somebody else. So
I think part of it is the mutual benefit here.
Yeah.
Is that, of course he's helping you out because it's part of the podcast, but he gets a photo from a professional photographer.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Right.
It's kind of a win-win. You get a good story. He now has a podcast to listen to. He already has the headphones. Step one, done.
Yeah.
And so what's gonna be weird and mind-blowing and really, really awesome for your ego is in like next week when you're going along the dike and he's walking the other way and he says, I'm listening to you right now.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Not your podcast. I've just been recording you secretly. So,
but
awesome.
But I,
yeah, it, no, great it, photo.
Even by the time I had sent the email, he had already kind of in his email back said, "Oh, you know how many people I spoke to about this." And so this really meant something to somebody else. So again, that's the cool thing here is that you know, I think we sometimes take for granted because our kids and our wives, when we do this, are nothing but hurry up and get this finished, dad mode.
Yeah,
and so
that's true.
The average person, you know, especially like these dogs are obviously special to him. You know, doing this kind of photo isn't something that comes up every day. So just keeping that in context, whether it's a guy in his accordion or, you know, a fellow with his dogs, is that if they don't, you know, get their photo taken very often, it is kind of a neat experience and something that's worth probably him telling his friends about.
And real quick, what camera lens?
This is the, oh man, that's a good question. I think it's the 70-200
On the classic.
I don't even know about that. So I'd have to double check. I'm going to say it's probably the 60. It's probably not the classic. It's the 60 with the 70-200. That's what I'm going to say.
All right. Well, good job. And then now I know you say you hate doing it and we're not doing it next month, but in the next couple of months, I think we're going to revisit this challenge just as to encourage our listeners to get out and do this.
Right. And maybe so, next time we'll get 8 submissions.
So look for it. I'm going to say probably around September. I'd hope to be a lot more for your own sake. I hope for your, you know, just after this story that you've just told. And plus you have the winning endorsement from Doug and the dogs. And so I think we're going to be good.
I think it's Dave. Dave and the dogs.
I wasn't going to ask. I was going to be like, beware of Doug, the old Far Side
cartoon.
One of my favorites.
Okay.
All right. All right. Challenge for next month, for the month of August. I'm going to go with Blue Hour.
Okay.
I love it. August is a great time. The sun does start to go down a little earlier, so your kids will likely be up. And Blue Hour in August after a super hot day is really one of my favorite times. I've shot a lot of pictures that I would say great photos, but photos that I like. I've shot at Blue Hour in August. So that's the challenge for August. Next week's challenge, Adam, sunshine. You should have some sunshine, right?
Sure.
Okay. If not, fake it.
Okay.
All right. Websites. Where can people go to find your stuff?
They can go to adamschwartz.ca. And what about your stuff?
You can find mine at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, and everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.